Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Time now to talk to the Celtics president of basketball operations. Danny Ainge is brought to you by Star Market. Come see what makes us shine. He joins us on the phone from Cleveland. Hey, Danny, how are you?
Dale, how we doing? Mike, Rich, how we doing today?
Good.
Hey, you got our names down, man. This is a good start.
We appreciate you.
Got the names down?
Hey,
ready to go?
You know, I've heard of, you know, guys in your position having an active summer. You were in the Eastern Conference Finals last spring. You were one of the four best teams in the NBA. And you changed 11 of the 15 guys on the squad? Who's ever done that before?
You know, Dale, I don't know the answer to that. I mean, we're just trying to figure out, manage a roster and a payroll and, you know, the present and the future. And, you know, sometimes crazy things happen. But hopefully this team can be together a little bit longer than the last group.
So what have you seen so far? I know you only had four preseason games and game one tonight. Are they further along than you expected in some ways, about what you expected? Just your analysis of what you have seen so far.
Well, I think it's really hard because, you know, exhibition season is not real NBA basketball. So it's hard to know. I'm excited about our team. I like our team, the morale. I like the fact that each guy that is on our roster right now is really excited to be a Boston Celtic, and I think that goes a long way, you know, and it enables you to be able to fight through the tough times and have the attitude of improving each and every day. And I'm excited about this group of guys, but I don't know where we are. That's why it's fun to, you know, open up tonight and tomorrow night and against two good teams, and we'll have a little bit better idea of where we are after these first two games.
Now, I know you've done a lot of interviews in the last couple of days. I've paid attention to several of them. So I know you've been asked about Isaiah Thomas and his comments. But I want to be a little more specific. And he says, but what he did, talking about you, knowing everything I went through, you don't do that, bro. That's not right. What do you think he's talking about? I know people have asked you, like, what do you think? But specifically, what do you think he's talking about there?
You know, I can't be sure, but I just know that Isaiah gave us all he had, and he was a Celtic, you know, he was all in with us, and we were all in with him, and he had an amazing platform, and he went from a guy that was, you know, that bounced around a little bit from Sacramento to Phoenix and came to Boston, found a home, and played unbelievable basketball last year. You know, that going forward there, you know, all point guard that play great in Celtics uniforms will be compared to Isaiah Thomas and how they compare to him. And, but you know, I don't know what we owe him. We gave him an opportunity. We gave him everything he had while he was here, and he gave us everything that he had.
And he should have what I would think a great point guard this year in Kyrie Irving. He gets a chance to go up against his former team right away. At 25 years old, do you feel like he's the guy who can lead a team? And a lot has been made of him and his talent and what he can do on the floor. Do you think he has that total package of a guy who kind of on and off the floor can be a team leader?
I do. You know, again, you mentioned his age, and, you know, it's always hard. If you would have told me when we had Tony Allen that was here and he left for free agency to go play, who was, you know, I don't know, our 10th or 11th man, and he went to Memphis and became the leader in the clubhouse the day he arrived. And if you'd have told me that Kendrick Perkins was going to be the leader in the Oklahoma City locker room the day he arrived and, you know, playing with Russell Westbrook and James Harden and Kevin Durant, albeit they were all young, that would have surprised me, although not completely. But, you know, sometimes you grow into a position. You're not really, he wasn't, you know, he didn't have much of a chance to lead, obviously, because LeBron is a great leader and a great winner in this league. And so this is an opportunity for Kyrie. I don't expect him to be perfect in his first real opportunity at that role, but we have lots of leaders. We don't need one leader. We need Al Horford is a terrific leader. Marcus Smart leads in his way, and I think that we don't need him to be like some sort of special leader. We need him to be a great player and a great teammate.
We're talking with Celtics President of Basketball Operations, Danny Ainge. I remember talking to Bill Parcells one time about a young player in the league, and Parcells said, you never want to throw a young player to the Wolves until you find out he's one of the Wolves. Is Jason Tatum one of the Wolves?
We think he's pretty good. Yeah, we think he has a very bright future. And he is being thrown to the Wolves, so I would tell you that he is a Wolf.
I like that quote, by the way.
Yeah.
We're all talking about now we're talking about Rudyard Kipling and the Jungle Book and all this stuff. Let me ask you about, and Dale referenced it earlier when he was mentioning all the off-season turnover, 11 new players out of the 15 from last year. It takes a certain kind of temperament not to fall in love with a team that was very embraceable, that was very lovable. When did you know that you were capable of doing something like that as a general manager? Were you like that as a player? I mean, it's like a cold-hearted nature that has to be in place for you to just say, all right, I know we went to the conference finals, but it's not good enough. Let's move on.
Well, to be honest, I think that even some players knew. There was, the way we had planned our payroll, Celtics really haven't had many opportunities to have max cap space in their history. And the last 2 years, we landed two good players with cap space without having to give up assets. But we did have to give up some assets by not re-signing some players. But we had prepared for a big trade or big free agency for a few years now. I think everybody is aware of that. We had signed one-year contracts with Jonas and Amir and Tyler and, to try to use it, to potentially use in trades for bigger name players and so forth. So I think that the players aren't dumb. They get what's going on. And I think that the big trade to Cleveland was not necessarily or was never in any sort of plans for the future long time ago. But, free agent signing this year and losing some of those and renouncing some of those players to keep that cap space has been in the plan for quite a while.
What did you think of the development of Jaylen Brown last year during his rookie season? As the number three pick, obviously I would say high expectations, although it can be tricky to work your way into a team that is really good. Did he meet your expectations? Did he fall short? Was it right there in the middle? What did you think of his rookie year?
I thought his rookie year was fantastic. And, I probably judge it different than maybe the average fan. I'm looking at his work ethic and how much he's learning about the game, his skill development, but how great of a teammate he is, how much he improved from just a competitive nature. I mean, talk about being thrown to the Wolves some of the time, and he was put in early in the season to start a game against LeBron and had 19 points. And the toughest thing with Jaylen is he just didn't – there was not as much opportunity as there is right now for Jason Tatum, as there was much more opportunity for Jason than for Jaylen. And mostly because of Marcus Morris's injuries out of the gate.
Talking to Danny Ainge, with all the excitement of a new season and a new roster and a lot of people changed here, what is something that's got you a little bit concerned as you go into the new season? What's something that you worry about a little bit?
Well, I mean, the same thing as everybody worries about, injuries. We have one of our core guys here, one of our guys that, our main rotation guys, and Marcus Morris that's out, and he's a versatile player. He can play a couple positions. And so, like you said, that throws our 19-year-old Jason Tatum into the fire right away. So there's some good in that. and we'll see how that goes over the next couple nights. But it would sure be nice to have Marcus healthy. And so those are really that's all I'm worried about. And then, you know, just how long it will take the team to mesh. I think my guess is that we'll have some good games and bad games in the early going of the season. And, you know, you certainly won't see me or Brad overreacting to those situations. We feel like we'll be a better team
Danny,
at the end of the season than we are at the beginning.
Oh, sorry about that. Danny, as you know, as a former member of the media, you know how shaky we can be with our predictions. That being said, I'm looking on ESPN.com for finals champion, predicted finals champion, and everybody, and I'm not exaggerating, everybody picked the Warriors to repeat as champions. Do you think they're that good? And I know we talked to you at the beginning of last season. Did they surprise you with how they were able to finish the season with a flourish?
No, I mean, listen, they're an extremely talented team, and everybody knows that. And they're definitely the team to beat in the NBA. I think they have a target on their back, and everybody is shooting for them. And I'm excited that the team hasn't just folded over and just handed it to them. There's been a lot of teams that have really stepped up to the plate, and I think can challenge them, but I still think that they're the favorite.
And when you're trying to figure out a championship standard, I mean, do you go so far as to say when you're building your team, okay, this is how we match up with Cleveland, or this is how we match up with the Warriors, or you just or do you take a different approach before you know that you're at that level that you need to be at?
Well, you know, that's hard to do, Mike, because you just got to get the best players. And, I mean, we've seen all sorts of different formulas that win. Right now, it seems like positionless basketball is the vogue terminology, and I think that's just because there's not that many incredibly qualified offensive production big men anymore. So you hear the term positionless basketball, but, you know, you could still win with quality big men, I guarantee it. And, you know, there just aren't that many around. So that's what teams have to do. And when you have a team like Golden State, it's tough to go put a 7-footer out there that's not a dominant player like a Shaq or a Patrick Ewing or a Hakeem Olajuwon, because they won't be able to guard an opposing center that is shooting threes and beating people off the dribble.
Now, no extension reached with Marcus Smart. Was there frustration on either side, or how did you leave it with Marcus and his agent?
That we'll revisit it this summer. You know, it was something I think both of us would have liked to have had done, but it didn't seem like either side was too bothered by it not being done, I guess is how I felt the negotiation went. It was just a good negotiation. I talked with Marcus a couple of times. I think he feels good about it. You know, he really wants to bet on himself, and you know, he's put in a lot of work. I anticipate a really good year out of Marcus this year.
Big night tonight in Cleveland, the opener against the Cavaliers. Back for the home opener tomorrow night. Oh, real quickly before I let you go, do you expect LeBron will play tonight?
I expect that he will, yes.
Yeah, so do I. Danny, we always appreciate the time. Thank you. We'll talk to you again soon.
All right, guys. Talk to you later.
Take
care.
Danny. That is Danny Ainge, president of basketball operations for the Boston Celtics. Say this, man. He is fearless.
Yeah, you got to love it.
I mean, when you take a Final Four team in the NBA and ship 11 of the 15 guys out of town, including by far the most popular player and best player you had.
Yeah, not only was the team good, I mean, they were in the conference finals, but they were very likable. People loved the team.
Right.
Now, Isaiah, more so than anybody else, but just the team as a group, people loved watching them play. So it's a lot easier to tear down a team. Maybe you make it to the semifinals, the conference finals, whatever, but there's just something off about the team. You know, like for the Red Sox this year, for example, like if you found a way to get rid of half the team, not a lot of people would be all that upset. Like, well, they won the division. I'm like, yeah, I just didn't really have a connection with them. You had a connection with the Celtics, and he still knew that that wasn't good enough, and I can't let my heart make all the choices, so I'm going to use my brain and make a ton of trades and sign some new guys.
You know, it's crazy. This is how nuts the offseason was. That there's the most outrageous move or the boldest move was not trading the number one overall pick. Right. That's how crazy it was.
That's like
trading the number one overall pick.
Non-factor.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yeah, Jason Tatum, they were going to get him anyway. Oh, yeah. Then the second most the second most newsworthy thing was, you picked up Gordon Hayward. That's a big deal. That's number two on the list.
Crazy. And then the whole league was like that,
and that's
too. But
just for the Celtics, right, to your point. Yeah, everybody. And like, think about the movement. Oh, yeah, Carmelo was traded. Carmelo was traded? And that's not big news because Chris Paul was traded. Chris Paul was traded. Paul George was traded. Jimmy Butler was traded.
All of these moves in the offseason were all because of how great the Golden State Warriors are.
You got to keep
up. Every team is saying, look, my team's not going to beat that team. I got to make moves. I got to do stuff. I mean, I think Wick Grosbeck and the ownership group here got together with Danny and said, can this team beat Cleveland or Golden State anytime soon? No. Well, then we got to move it.
Yeah, and you talk about all the excitement of the offseason, and that's fine. You know, you get all excited as a basketball fan. There was stuff to talk about in July and August and September. You're looking forward to the season. But there's a sobering reality here. When you look at some of these previews and you look at the starting fives in the NBA, there's some bad teams. I was on Michael Jordan before, like, hey, Jordan,
you can't say that.
Michael, hey, Michael, I understand.
Ugh.
He's right. There are a lot of bad teams still, even with all the moves and, hey, we got to keep up with Golden State.
But that's fine.
Just looking at
because you got a good one
looking
here.
At his team.
Oh, yeah.
Looking at Charlotte.
Thanks.
The Pacers. The Nets. I mean, just the Bulls. The Bulls. I think
trash.
The Bulls might be the worst team in basketball.
Really?
The Bulls might be worse than the Nets.
Oh, yeah.
They don't have any.
Oh, I can see that.
They don't have anybody that you want. Like, nobody on the roster. Nobody.
Yeah, Chris Dunn guy?
Chris Dunn. Thank you, Providence. No.
We got the Rhode Island callers calling in.
All right. So, yeah, call in. You want to watch it. Okay. If you call in and say, hey, you're being too hard on Chris Dunn. What I want you to do is I want you to watch 25 Bulls games this year in their entirety.
Then they get
and then come back and talk to me.
Then they get Zach LaVine in that deal?
Yeah, ACL. He's out.
Well,
he's out for a while.
Nice player.
Just a lot of an Orlando.
But the top teams are great.
But to Jordan's point, now he exaggerated. He said, 28 garbage teams. Maybe 22 or 20.
There's probably 8. No, but there's more than 8 worth watching. I refuse to believe that it's about half the league you could talk yourself into watching.
Really?
You don't want to watch Boogie and Davis down there?
Not as much as you.
Right.
You love Boogie.
Yeah. Twin Towers, the new Twin Towers down there? Now that
for
can
one
start
more
the
year. He's in
fresh.
His contract year.
No, he's gone.
One more year.
They're going to trade him
at the deadline.
It's all right.
Well, they get a chance to open the season tonight. They come home to open the home schedule tomorrow night. And Rich started at the beginning of the program saying this is as excited as he's been about a Celtics season opener in 10 years. I think a lot of folks are looking at the possibility of this team grabbing the attention of local fans. Now, I'm not saying they have to win the game against Cleveland tonight for that to happen, but if they did, it'd be really good.
Yes. Beat LeBron. Then home tomorrow night against Milwaukee, which might be the third best team in the conference.
Yeah, Milwaukee's good. They can stay healthy. Good team.
So great way to get started.
They're a fun team to watch.
They are. There you go.
Baseball is back. Basketball is heating up. And the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.